This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 182 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me from his office in Melbourne via Skype, once again, Mr. Lee Antrakopoulos. How are you, Lee?
Very well, Bruce. How are you, matey?
Mate, great. It seems like it was only 3 days since we last spoke.
It does feel like that, doesn't it? It does, most definitely.
So how was your weekend?
Absolutely brilliant. Got away, spent the time with the kids, and lest we forget, it's all about balance in life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. No, of course, we're in the middle of school holidays here in New South Wales. Are you in? You're in school holidays as well down there?
We are. Yeah, we've got one more week, or we've got the rest of this week left, yes. And then back on school on Monday.
Yep, same here. So,
bit of the pressure will be off, and we can go back to just focusing on just work and not having to figure out what we're going to do with the kids for the next 3 days.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Mind you, it does come back to planning, doesn't it?
Like anything definitely. In life. It's like
all
everything.
Comes back to planning, and those kids really need to know what's happening next.
Yes, definitely. Mm. So, last episode, we suggested that on this episode, we would actually talk about how you find your client base. If you're like me, where mm-hmm. you've already got a career in something else, but you want to, move into photography as a, primary income stream and really make this your career, how do you tap into, where do you find your clients? So any opening thoughts on that, Lee?
Yes.
I thought you'd say that.
The magic word is marketing. There you go. Marketing, right. marketing. What a magnificent word, and what a massive word it is.
Yeah.
There's so much you can talk about that, and there's so many different directions. But at the end of the day, what you've just said to me is, how can I get customers to build up a business that will ensure a career for me? Mm-hmm. And again, I'm going to come back to the magic word of planning. Planning will be my first word. My second word will be perseverance, because you don't always get it right the first time round.
Yeah.
And even if you do get it right, it's not going to be the one strike that's going to make the job. It's a continuation of it. And many a company that I work with on a marketing level, we will aim to put an annual marketing plan together. It's not just what we're going to do in the next couple of weeks, but rather structure a whole campaign for the year. What are we going to be doing in January? What's happening at Father's Day, at Mother's Day, at Christmas, at Easter? There's constantly events that we could be working off. And that's just the starting point. But planning a structure of what you're going to do over the year and ensuring that the vehicles that you're going to be using will achieve the numbers that you're looking for. And if they're not, what alternative plans will you have in place?
Right.
An interesting point here, Bruce, is that I remember the days, and I'm going back 10 years ago in the photography industry, where a lot of the studios that were established at the time may have had one or even two marketing vehicles. And on those one or two marketing vehicles, they were quite successful. Long gone those days.
What do you mean they had a couple of different marketing vehicles? What do you mean by that?
Well, we'll go into them in a little bit more detail, but I guess what I'm referring to is they may have had, a magazine that they used, and then they may have another third-party company that they worked with. And those two vehicles were strong enough to keep their business coming in.
Right.
And that was okay for them. But the things have changed recently, and there's been a lot more people playing in the industry. There's a lot more offers out there. And so the distribution of the customers to the various suppliers out there has dwindled. So you will find a lot of the studios out there that are not relying on just one vehicle or two. They'll have 10, 15 vehicles in place,
right,
to keep things ticking along.
So I think we all recognize that social media is, massively changing the business landscape, no matter what industry you're in.
Yes.
As photographers, are there still any marketing vehicles that are worth pursuing that are not social media?
Definitely. Look, I guess I feel that in Australia, I have gained a certain level of authority in the field of photography. And when we are talking about marketing, I also run another company called Real People, Real Portraits, www.realportraits.com.au. And Real Portraits is a professional alliance of studios around Australia. These are studios that I have over the years trained through instinctive desires, and we've gained a relationship and have attained a certain customer service level, and we've bought them together. So now I will go out there as well and market at a national level.
Okay.
And through the years, and we've been, Real Portraits has been around for about 6 years now.
Right.
And we have seen a dramatic change over the last 6 years as well. And I guess what I would say is that I've seen tendencies in the industry where you will have, for example, a magazine ad that would go out, and you will have a third party that will go out, third party promotion that will go out. We would have two or three. Now we would have to run, you know, at least 10 times more communications with potential businesses out there to try and generate those leads.
Right.
It's a changing industry. Having said that, though, there's a few things that are fundamental here, Bruce. And before we go into it, talking which ones would be the best vehicles to use, I think we need to go a step further back, and we have to ask three major questions, which is, for anyone out there that's looking to build up a business and find their customers, the three questions have got to be, who are the people you're going to be aiming to track down or find as customers? How are you going to get your message across to them? And what is your message going to be?
Right.
And there is a big diversity there. Looking at the photographers that are coming into the industry, well, here's an interesting note. What I do know and have seen in the industry is that when most emerging photographers, emerging slash professional photographers are coming into the industry, traditionally a market that they will aim for will be the wedding markets.
Right.
Now, the reason they'll aim for the wedding market is because the customer or potential customer is quite a motivated customer. So they've decided they're going to get married, or the couple has decided they're getting married, and they're going to get married on this date. And that's quite firm, and therefore we need to find a photographer. Therefore, they are actively looking to find a photographer. They are motivated to take on the photographer that they're going to find that will achieve what they want.
Yep.
But they're actively out there looking for someone. And so a lot of photographers will steer towards the wedding market because there is a demand in that sense.
Yeah.
We also know that unless you run a very tight ship with weddings, it can be a very costly exercise, as we'd previously discussed, with the amount of hours that one is putting in.
Yeah.
Moving on from there, what you'll then find is photographers that have been in the industry with weddings for 1, 2, 3 years, they'll start building up a database of customers, in a sense.
Okay. As in past customers or potential future customers? Yeah.
Customers that have gotten married, for argument's sake.
Okay.
So they've got married, they've had their album, lovely, they've built a relationship with this photographer. They've probably spent maybe $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 with this photographer for their wedding, and have a relationship. So when this young couple now married, the next stage is possibly to have a wee little sproglet floating around. And next thing you know, they're at the next phase, which is now their next motivator is to get their child photographed.
Yep.
So they return back to the photographer that did their wedding.
Yep.
And at that stage, there's that connection again. So a lot of wedding photographers, you'll see them moving into the portraiture based on their existing customers.
Right. So I guess that's a timely reminder that if you're shooting weddings, don't just ditch the couple after you've done the wedding.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Think about this, guys.
Yeah.
This is you're basically photographing one particular event in their lives.
Yeah.
You have built a relationship with this customer. Think of all the possibilities that this couple wish to document throughout their lives. Look at your own life.
Yeah.
Hang on. I mean, I know for myself, I am, forget about prior to me being married, but you know, ever since I've been married, I had my first child. I then had a second. These are fundamental stages in my life, which is the marriage, the first childbirth, second childbirth, birthdays, particular events where the family's been together, birthday parties at different. It's a constant.
Mm-hmm.
So don't just focus on one particular event. It is a particular event that has been traditionally an event that everyone wants to document. But please allow yourself to think a bit further than that. It's one of those things that I see the industry moving on, and I see the movement on where you'll get your wedding photographer who then moves on to the infant photography in a sense, because it's a natural progression from their existing clients.
And I suppose in between those two stages, there could also be the pregnancy maternity shots as well.
Most definitely, most definitely. If you start researching, there's a lot of areas that people want to document. It could be the pet that's coming to their lives or... number of events. Now, what's interesting is that eventually photographers will identify that the family unit is there where they want to go to next. And family portraitures, everyone keeps talking about, ideally, let's hit the family portraiture market in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a very good market to approach. There's a lot of milestones in the family and at various stages in that family's growth. But the interesting thing with the family is that they're all busy. They've all got something to do. They've all got schedules. They're all at different points, and trying to get them all together isn't necessarily as easy as one may think.
Mm.
So you tend to find that families, although they all definitely want to have the family portraits, never prioritize it. They're not as motivated.
Right.
So as a result, you'll find a lot of emerging photographers would love to tackle the family, but that's not necessarily where they start from. And that seems to be an observation of how the photographers follow through from the weddings and then build themselves into the portraiture market and the family market in a sense.
Right.
Having said that, if we were to go and look back at the beginning, and let's look at what we are doing. Here we are, we want to try and contact customers. And the first question is, who are they? Who are you aiming at? So if you are a wedding photographer, are you aiming for the young, up-and-coming couples? Are you aiming for the more mature couples? Are you aiming for a tighter budget where they'll be looking at spending between $500 and $1,000? Are you targeting customers that are looking at spending between $2,000 and $3,000? Are you targeting customers that are looking at spending between $5,000 and $15,000? So be aware of the starting point who you're looking to find.
Not that we want to be doing what we do for the money, but there could be a natural, I guess, predisposition to want to chase the big bucks. Mm-hmm. How do you decide where, you know, my photography, you know, depending on who I am, photographer, you know, XYZ, how do I determine where my photography sits?
Look, I think there has to be an awareness of the industry as well.
Sure.
There's a certain realism that kicks in here. We need to be aware of it. If you look at photographers that are charging $15,000, they're not just charging $15,000 because the images are absolutely brilliant. They're also charging $15,000 because of the customer service backup that's right in place as well.
Yep.
You know, if you walk into a studio where from the moment you walk into that studio, you have walked into an absolutely contemporary, fresh, modern, immaculate studio where you are greeted with a glass of champagne, for argument's sake, you know you're walking into somewhere that ain't going to be a $500 deal.
Exactly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And likewise, if you were to visit a photographer at their home, or the photographer was coming to your house, and there was a limitation in the fluffiness, shall we say, and we were concentrating on the story that we're telling, and then the whole process of how we're going to support that client through their whole day, and then the follow through of the imagery, etc., you might find yourself that you might reduce your prices a little bit to facilitate the middle part of the market.
Sure.
And then again, you might also be saying, look, it'll be a shoot and burn event where I'll shoot you a thousand images and I'll give you the CD and we're done.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to a lower price bracket. So I guess an awareness of the industry and an awareness of what else is being charged out there is not necessarily a bad thing.
Now, I've seen quite a few blog posts and I've heard various people in the industry talk about that whole shoot and burn philosophy. As a marketer, where do you stand on that?
Look, I think I listen to the market. If this is what customers want, this is what will be available.
What you give them, yeah.
But that won't apply to everyone. And I think the awareness here is that there are people that want to get everything on a CD.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of customers that would rather someone did all that for them. There is a lot of people that want to know that someone's going to cater for a designed album for them, that will like the finished product to be available for them, that would like that glass of champagne on arrival, that would like all the fluffiness that goes with it. We are a nation of customer service, Bruce.
Yeah.
We do like our customer service, and we're prepared to pay for it by nature. It's the same principle of the footy. You know, you go to the footy and you'll find seats available out the front which are going to be a wee bit damp and a bit cold, and you can also find seats up at the top which are enclosed in glass, and there's a glass of champagne with you while you're watching the footy.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are various levels.
Sure.
So I think there will always, I mean, there is a place for the shoot and burn. Some people want to just go the cheapest route out, and some people want the full service.
Hmm.
You know, having said that, I would still say, if I look at the portraiture side of it, there are still a lot of studios operating that will only offer finished work.
Yes. Yeah.
They're still busy. They're still selling. They're still moving. Yes, I grant you, the average sale over the last 2 or 3 years has dropped a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, people are still purchasing finished products.
People are always getting married.
Exactly. Exactly. So looking at the who you're actually going to aim for is going to be very important. When you look at it from a portraiture point of view, you might even break it down a bit further. You might decide that my focus is going to be families. So your message and how you're going to communicate with these people may vary based on where you're going to find families. You might be looking at singles. You might focus at single ladies, for argument's sake, and couples. And then again, you're going to be looking at a different demographic of, say, the younger people aged between 20 and 30, for argument's sake. You might be looking at another demographic, which might be infants, in which case you're looking at the 20 or 25 to 35, 40-year-old younger families, in a sense. Then you might even look at the generation photography, where you're looking at the older family unit. So you're now approaching the families that are sitting between their 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you going to find them, and what message are you going to pass on to those people? It could be pet photography. Again, you're looking at another vehicle of communication and a different message. So before we even consider how we're going to track these people down, or how we're going to communicate them, or what we're going to say, it is very important to realize that we know who we're talking to.
Yep.
And so I think before we start going out and putting a general message out there, and we do weddings, and yes, we do portraits, and yes, we do everything, the more we can target our particular group customers, the more defined the message will be, in a sense, as well.
Sure. So once we've decided that I want to target, you know, let's say I want to target the 30 to 50 year old market who are going for their second wedding or third wedding.
Okay.
So let's say that's the segment of the market that I've decided to focus on. How do I find them? And then obviously we'll get to the bit about, you know, what's the message and how you translate that message. But how do I find them in the first place?
Okay, good point. All right, so we're working with a wedding as a principal wedding model, aiming for the 30s to 50s, and for the purpose of the conversation, I'll also incorporate and I'll work with the 30s to 50s families, for argument's sake.
Sure.
So the older family unit, in a sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've identified these are the people we're looking for. How are you going to get your message out there? What are you going to say? How are we going to communicate? So if we are looking at communicating with them, well, we could follow the old traditional vehicles, which was long time ago, you'd use something like yellow pages. Well, we know that's definitely out of the equation now.
Yep.
And won't get you very far. We will look at the fact that you could be focusing on vehicles that will be branding-based vehicles. We are just fantastic. This is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Or we will incorporate a call to action in there as well.
Yep.
Within the various vehicles. So we could be looking at a lot of what's going on these days is definitely the social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which cannot be neglected. Blogs and social media, in a sense, is a vehicle. And there, I guess what you're kind of doing is you're showing a human face. You're showing the type of photography you're working with. and you will, in a sense, refer to the particular customer groups that you're going to focus on based on the images that you're showing them to a certain extent. So if I'm showing images of 30 to 50-year-old families or 30 to 50-year-old wedding couples, I'm in that immediately, yes, these are the images that would appeal to me. So sure. If we're aiming for a particular group, we're going to be showing images that reflect on that level. Referrals is going to be a very strong vehicle to use when we are working with the social media, because it's all about connecting with people.
Definitely.
So getting those referrals to work with existing customers has a lot of strength in it and is a very powerful vehicle. And a lot of the social media is working on that social, is always working on that referral process in a sense as well.
Yeah.
And it's that communication, what others have experienced and what you're going to experience. The other area that I do talk about quite a bit is the third party vehicle.
Right.
Now, the third party vehicle is the idea that somebody else, it still goes down the referral process, but instead of it being referred from a customer, it's a referral from another business.
Okay. Like a magazine or something? Or
is so, it- actually, an example from the wedding side of it would be take a venue.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Or a bridal salon or something. Yeah.
Or a bridal salon. Yes. A wedding dress or a venue or a cake shop or whatever the case may be. And you will get a wedding couple that says, right, we're getting married. Therefore, one of the first things we need is our wedding dress, or we need to organize the venue. Mm-hmm. And venue seems to be commonly a priority for a lot of people. Set the venue right. Get the church and the venue. And so building a relationship with the relevant venues that you would like to work with is a very good way of identifying also the customers that you would like to work with as well.
Sure.
So if I'm going to be, if I'm interested in building a relationship with, say, the Hyatt, which will have a price tag of XYZ, I know if I'm going to build a relationship with the Hyatt, and any customers that the Hyatt's going to refer to me will be the customers that I'm looking for.
Right. So if you're planning on being the, you know, $500 to $1,000 shoot and burn, then you're not going to try and strike up an alliance with the Hyatt.
Thank you, sir. Exactly.
Yeah, right.
Reality starts to kick in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Exactly. So you will start to identify, because I now know who my customers are.
Yep.
And I know what their financial demographic or their finances will be, or their demographic is. So I start looking for venues that they will. So if a wedding, and how can I build a relationship with those relevant companies?
Yep.
Now, interestingly enough, I'll make a quick reference here. There is a company that's emerged in recent times called YEM, Your Inquiry Manager,
okay,
which is an online referral vehicle.
Okay.
For more information on that, it really just follows that same principle that I've just discussed. For more information on that, feel free to touch base with us at instinctivedesires.com.au and we'll be able to give you more information how that vehicle actually worked. But this is predominant.
So does Your Inquiry Manager have its own website, or is it something you do separately?
It has got its own website as well. You can actually go to yourinquirymanager.com.au,
mm-hmm,
and you'll be able to guide yourself a bit further on from there as well. It's a great vehicle because it works on that principle potential customers that will inquire with a particular venue, and when they inquire with that particular venue via an email service,
yep,
they will automatically also receive a reply email saying, fantastic, we've got you here, this is the information you need. And plus, here is also a list of other suppliers that may be of interest to you.
Ah, nice.
Mm. And it's all done online.
Fantastic.
It's a rather interesting vehicle. I was on a roadshow recently, and actually last few weeks, and I was on the roadshow with Chris Hall, who is very much presenting YEM,
mm-hmm,
and Your Inquiry Manager, and that was a very interesting ride. So I really got to get a good feel of what he's doing and very impressed with it. So definitely worth having a look at.
Awesome.
So that's how, for example, the third party principle would apply in the wedding environment.
Yep.
Now, in the portraiture environment, same principle applies. I guess we're just tweaking it a little bit. So I know that I've been running promotions with Real People, Real Portraits for a number of years now. And to give you an example of a national promotion that I'll run with the studios that I work with, I'll do a promotion. For example, I ran one with MasterCard and Bankwest.
Okay.
So Bankwest sent out a letter to all their customers saying, thank you very much for your business. We are moving you from Visa to MasterCard. And as a goodwill thank you, here is a complimentary desk portrait from us as a gift.
Right.
So the client receives a gift from the bank.
Okay.
And therefore, there is a strong relationship with the bank that the customer has. They've received a gift. So from their understanding, they appreciate this is a referral. This is a gift that they've received. So there is value in what they've received.
Mm-hmm.
And in turn, it's been referred to the company that will redeem their gift.
Right.
And so they will in turn call us up
mm-hmm.
to redeem their gift. We will then find out who that person is or who they are and what they'd love to do and how they'd like to be involved and what they'd like to achieve and their congratulations. They've received their complimentary desk portrait in a sense.
Yep.
And beyond that point, once we've gone through the shoot, we'll show them some amazing images. We'll tell them about the fact that there's going to be a whole variety of stuff they can select from. We'll even refer on the pricing because we don't want to get caught up in any form of misrepresentation.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, they will sit in a viewing room and look at 50, 60 images,
yep.
Select their one freebie, and we'll have the option of purchasing any additional images if they'd like to. However, there is no obligation.
Right.
So again, you are now finding somebody else that's pointing the customers in your direction.
Yeah.
And what I love about it, it actually costs you nothing.
Right.
As opposed to spending big bucks on full page magazine ads.
Yeah.
And I think building up a lot of third parties, referral vehicles, costs you very little and can work very effectively. And a lot of business does head in this direction.
So the Real Portraits, Real People service
yes.
is just Australian based at this point in time?
We have just ventured into New Zealand as well.
Right.
Proud to say. We've actually just started a new alliance now with Jenny Craig.
Oh, wow.
So there's another example of how that relationship grows. Jenny Craig will offer rewards to their clients at various stages of their journey.
Yep.
And in turn will call us to redeem their gift at various stages.
Right. So how does an Australian photographer who wants to be a part of Real Portraits, Real People get involved if they wanted to?
All they have to do is track us down. All you have to do is go to either www.instinctivedesires.com.au, contact us tell us about their interests with Real Portraits, or you can definitely go to www.realportraits.com.au.
Yep.
Have a look there and you'll see our locations. There's about 30 or so studios there at the moment.
Right.
And ever growing. And I guess the idea is what we will do, as opposed to just offering some mentoring and training out there,
mm-hmm.
we are looking at the larger picture. And if you ask me, Bruce, out of all that any supplier could offer a photographer, you know, yes, we could talk about cameras, we could talk about lenses, we could talk about business structures and planning, but the one thing we need more than anything is bums on seats.
Totally.
And so that's where Real Portraits has gone. So the idea was that, yes, we will train you and we'll talk about customer service and we'll aim to get the systems in place and we'll look at your products and we'll look at your pricing. But at the end of the day, what we would aim to do is set you up in such a way that we can then start feeding you bookings that'll achieve the agreed or the average sale that we have established in the industry.
Which is an
ever-evolving figure. At the moment, it's tending between the $1,000 to $1,500 mark on various promotions that we're running.
Wow.
But it is ever-evolving and it's ever-changing, and we're constantly bringing on new studios on board and very keen to talk to new businesses as well.
Excellent.
But that is definitely there. Now, why I love it so much, and I talk about the third-party vehicle of getting out there, it goes back to a very basic principle, I believe, Bruce, that at the end of the day, I will photograph you And I will even give you an image on the house.
Mm-hmm.
Come on down.
Yep.
Come on down and let me show you what I can do. Now, these days, you know, having come from a world of, well, I'm going to charge you for my session, I'm going to charge you for this, I'm going to charge you from that, before we've actually seen anything.
Yep.
I think it's something that's evolved over recent years. But if we go back to 100 years ago, when, you know, a photographer rocked up in little town with his tripod and his big hood behind him,
yeah.
And the whole ancient setup.
Yeah.
He rocked up in the little village, and he would set up his screen or white sheet in the background, and he would literally parade the whole village through his front of, through the screen or
yeah.
front of a screen, and photograph everyone as he went through. He would then go away. He would develop all these images,
mm-hmm.
and then he would bring them back to the local cafe or pub or whatever that social group, where that social group was or
yep.
the village hung around. And he would show them the images, and then he would sell them.
Right.
The principle was, he put in the effort, showed you some amazing stuff, and once he'd showed you the amazing stuff, you wanted to purchase it.
Yeah.
I guess that's where I'm going. And I think there is a fundamental principle in that when we look at portraiture. Let me show you what I can do. Let me show you. Once I've, when I'm in a position to actually have these images and I can show you, then you'll get it.
Yeah.
So to a greater extent, I have found when we're looking at how we're going to get our message out there or what method we're going to use in communicating with people, do not underestimate the principle of referral, not from only your existing customers, but also from companies that will align themselves with you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It
means you're keeping your costs right down. And you're actually incorporating a vehicle that will communicate with customers, but will also provide for a call to action as well, because there'll be some kind of an incentive there.
Yeah.
Which brings me to the third point is, what are you actually going to be saying when you are communicating? Is it going to be purely a branding vehicle to say, XYZ photographer, we are just fantastic? Or XYZ photographer, we love to go for casual, natural, carefree, spontaneous, artistic, reflective images, and that's it? Or are we going to provide for a call to action?
Yeah.
Are we going to give them an incentive of some sort?
Yeah.
And in
so
turn...
book a shoot with us this month and get 20% off blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Providing for some facility and incentive to keep it moving forward. Now, when that actual incentive can come from a third party as well, it actually gains more strength. And the best part about it is that the third party vehicle, based from both your existing customers that will refer you and also from companies that you've aligned yourself with that will refer you, these tend to be the most credible. They will also promote the fact that this company is out there, but it will also refer to the fact that there's an incentive there, a gift or some kind of a promotion that'll provide for an opportunity, in a sense.
So when you say more credible, you mean more credible than just your own branding message?
Well, it's if I was to go out there and say, I am fantastic, yes, a certain amount of people will get it. But if somebody else was to go out there and say, Lee is fantastic,
right.
The chances are it'll be respected just that wee bit more.
Sure.
Because somebody else is saying, hey, I've acknowledged these guys, they're good.
Yeah, because when you toot your own horn, then you obviously have a vested interest.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it just gives that sense that somebody else is out there promoting that there's value in it.
Yeah.
It's an ongoing point, but it brings back, you know, the constant question is, who are your customers? How are you going to communicate with them? And what are you actually saying? And lest we forget, there are incentives there. Now, you know, when you're looking at photography, we really have two incentives to play with. And one is our service,
yep.
which is the actual photography time, or should I say it's more than that, actually, because you've got the initial consultation to actually find out exactly what the client would love to do. Then you might have a bit more in terms of preparing that client for that shoot. Then you've got the actual shoot time. And then you've got the subsequent viewing, which shouldn't be just a plain viewing, but to me, it's an image consultant viewing. This is, you know, a photographer who is a professional dealing with images, who's going to go through these images with you and help you appreciate the value in the image. So, you know, don't look at the service as just being the photography. There's so much more to it than that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that you have up your sleeve that may be offered as an incentive of some sort, but add value to it, the point being. And right. The second component is the actual products that you may offer as an incentive. So ideally what you may offer is a primary, a basic product as an introductory product. To tease them a little bit and say, look, come on down. We will show you some amazing stuff. But it, you know, if you are going to be offering product, appreciate that the principle is based on, I am so good, I want you to come down. I will give you something preliminary to get you started, but then you will really see what I can do. It's me giving you the opportunity to appreciate what you can do. And yes, I'm teasing you. Yes, I'm saying, here's a desk portrait, come on down.
Yep.
Especially when you are looking at the family unit, how often that's just enough for them to kind of go, yeah, let's do it. Let's actually do it. And once they're sitting there and they're looking at a variety of images, yes, the inspiration kicks in.
Mm.
So, you know, there is, you need to be able to look at that larger picture as well.
Yep.
So now I'd like to go back to the original point, which was an annual marketing plan.
Oh, yep. Yep.
So if we are going to look at an annual marketing plan, you know, be aware that there is a variety of vehicles that you're going to use, that you will use the social media in a sense, that you'll use your blogging vehicle to keep communication out there, that you will use third parties, that you'll build relationships, which at various periods will offer gifts to their clients, which will be redeemed by yourself, or will be communicating with potential wedding couples and offering them your services along with their own. And these will be structured into an annual framework. You know that midwinter is not going to be your main shooting time for weddings.
No.
Right? So these are periods that you can then elaborate with third parties, with a lot of these companies out there, and build those relationships, preparing yourself for the summertime or the springtime.
Yep.
So sitting down and looking at your year and looking at your busy times and looking at your quiet times from the wedding perspective, and then structuring a plan of attack of how you're going to find third parties on who you'd like to communicate with and build relationships with. And also remember, you know, for every 10 people you're going to speak to, one or two are really going to turn around and say, yes, I'm interested. So be aware that you're going to get the odd knockback, yeah?
Yeah.
But being out there in those quiet times and working those directions. You know, if you're looking at the branding these days, you know, social media is a very good vehicle to keep that branding going. And I'm also aware of a number of companies that actually will use their social media for incentives and promotions as well.
Yeah. Well, I think Shelton and Glyn do that very well.
And what they do fantastic is that the number of people that are coming back online and saying, wow, this is fantastic. Wow, this is brilliant. And that's the best marketing or advertising you could ever have out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, if there's a message anyone is picking up today from this, it's the fact that referrals, referrals, referrals.
Yep. So just coming back to, you know, the idea of establishing these third-party business rapport scenarios, if you like, you know, like if you are chasing the wedding market, you know, affiliating yourself with a bridal salon or a reception venue or something like that, what is the best way to approach those? Do you just ring up and say, this is me, this is who I am, can I buy you a coffee and sit down and talk about an alliance, or is there a better way to do it? Or,
well, it really depends on who the companies are, yeah?
Sure.
Obviously, if you're looking to walk into the crown, you need to be a bit more prepared than that.
Sure.
And be aware that if that company is going to refer their clients or potential clients to you...
Yes.
They need to be sure that they know what you're doing.
Yes.
So there's a lot in that. So be aware that when you present yourself, you can present that you can facilitate their customers.
Right.
And what their necessities will be for their customers.
Okay.
It may well refer to the imagery. I guess a good little vehicle of building those, approaching these companies is consider the weddings you have shot and consider the venues that you have shot at.
Right.
You may even wish to pluck those images out and give them back to those particular venues.
Right. Yep.
If there's a particular garment that you photographed, and you'd like to build a relationship with the company that made that garment.
Yep.
There's another. So you already have in your collection of images, particular images that may appeal to the particular venue that you'd like to build a relationship with.
Okay. There's a little bit of a chicken and egg scenario happening here, though.
You've got to start somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
You've got to start somewhere.
I've shot a couple of weddings, but I don't have a lot of material to call on. But
sure.
I guess I've got another one coming up this year, and you know, hopefully there'll be more referrals come from that. And I guess you just keep chipping away at it bit by bit.
It is about chipping away, and I think building those companies and building a relationship with those companies, you know, if you were just going to hand over your business cards and expect that venue to pass your business card on, I promise you that may not get you very far.
Right.
If you were to present a glorified voucher, in a sense, with imagery on it, and referring to your business, your photography business, may be something that presents better. And therefore, the venue may see that as being a valued token to pass on to their potential customer.
Sure.
It may well be that you take it a step further and you may have a wedding album or a little display album that sits at your the potential venue's office. So then they are not only offering that little voucher, but they're also showing examples of your work, yeah, and which may fill in with the same images from that particular venue.
Sure. And really, all that stuff is not that expensive to do these days.
Well, exactly. This is the point. We don't have to be spending big bucks with the major magazines.
No.
And for a small, for a lot of the small operators out there, those, you know, $2,000-$5,000 hits ain't exactly cheap. And when you consider what the return is, you need to be very careful.
Yeah.
There are still a lot of studios out there or a lot of operators out there that will go down the events. I'm referring to the shows, for argument's sake, the wedding shows.
Yep.
And, you know, that's becoming harder and harder. You know, you'll rock up one of these events and you can get anything between 2 to 10 wedding photographers there.
Oh, man, I went to one in Sydney be about 12 or 18 months ago now, and I swear there were about 40 to 45 photographers' stands.
Exactly. That becomes quite ludicrous, and obviously, you know, and you're trying to get two or three. You know, if you've paid $2,000 or $3,000 for that stand,
yeah,
and now you're trying to recoup that. Now, you know, if you're looking at achieving, say, 4, 5, 10 customers out of this,
yep,
10 customers with an average sale of, say, $3,000, that's $30,000,
yep,
that you're looking to recoup from those 10 customers. Mm-hmm. And if you allow for a $10,000 margin, a 10% margin, so you're looking at about $3,000. So you actually would have to achieve 10 clients with an average sale of $3,000,
yep,
to recoup your $3,000 expense at that stand.
Yeah, right.
You know, ain't the easiest thing in the world.
No.
Especially when you consider what other vehicles are out there. And the best one is the referral vehicle.
Yeah.
Especially when this social media vehicle is out there and it's becoming all about communication.
Yep, definitely.
So yes, it is evolving, and again, when I look at the portraiture vehicle, yes, I've run promotions with Fernwood Gyms, for argument's sake, Australia wide. Now, what I did with Fernwood Gym, which was interesting, is I put an ad in their magazine.
Okay. Yep.
So I had clearly identified my market. I was aiming for ladies between 20 and 40. Whether they were single ladies or they were young families.
Mm-hmm.
And we went into this, we paid an amount of money to Fernwood Gym to go into their magazine. We put a full page ad out there talking about how fantastic real portraits were, with contemporary, fresh style, modern images, casual, natural stuff, spontaneous, carefree, identifying again the type of want that these ladies may have.
Yep, and you've got your hot new body, show it off.
Exactly, yep. exactly. There's the thought. So I'm quite confident we're going to get a result here. And actually, I've gone a step further. I've said we will even give you the photography or complimentary and really put it out there.
Yeah.
I got bugger all out of it.
Are you kidding?
I got bugger all out of it. Well, when I say bugger all, we probably would have got about 30 to 40 bookings Australia-wide.
Wow, that's not much of a return.
That's not good at all.
No. So what do you think went wrong?
Well, this is the point that it because it was us blowing our own horn,
yep,
it was taken in a different context.
Right.
Now, if I was to compare that particular style of promotion with, say, what I did with Bankwest and MasterCard,
yep.
Now, interestingly enough, the distribution going on memory right now, but the distribution of the magazine with Fernwood Jim was sitting about that 50,000. And likewise, I think going on memory again, when Bankwest did a promotion, again, we were sitting on about that 70,000.
Right.
Now, the Fernwood Jim probably only returned about 40 to 50 clients in memory.
Mm-hmm.
In comparison to Bankwest, which was a gift that they were giving their customers and was coming from them, not us, we got 2,000.
Wow.
It was very interesting. So
it really backs up your argument that your third-party referrals are far more credible and valuable.
More than ever. Yeah. More than ever. More than ever, Bruce. It's becoming more and more people, you know, having a reference point from what everybody else has done will work better for them. Testimonials have got a lot of strength in them.
Wow.
And, you know, the interesting one I say to a lot of photographers, and I walk into a lot of studios, how many of them out there actually have a testimonials book?
Right.
So, you know, for example, you have had, you know, X amount of clients that you photographed, for argument's sake.
Yep.
Do you have a testimonial from all those clients?
I don't. I'm a shocker.
So there's the point.
Yeah, maybe I should go back to them and say, hey, can you give me a referral?
Every one of those clients should be giving you a referral, telling you, you know, even on a one-liner, you know, Bruce was brilliant.
Yeah.
Or Bruce was shocking. You know, you might want to put that on the back if that be the case.
We'll bury that one in the fine print.
Yeah, bury that one in the fine print. I'm with you. But, you know, be aware that every client has got something to say, and this is information you need to be passing back to everyone.
Yeah.
And moving on from that, you know, at the end of the day, this is what's going to create that motion. This is what's going to keep that call to action building, because they're hearing what everybody else is saying. Now you're giving them an incentive as well. Bang, let's do something about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mate, that is fantastic information, Lee. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure, Bruce.
Now,
I was going to say, I'm also very interested and would love to hear back from any of the listeners as well.
Sure.
Of how they're dealing with their marketing, how they're finding themselves identifying who their customers are, and how they are finding they're getting their message out to their people, and what that message is. So if you'd like some further discussion on this, I'm all ears. Feel free to drop back into instinctivedesires.com.au. Go to the blog section, ask us a question. We'd love to hear a response. We'd love to help along the way.
Yep. Or you can email the boys at shuttersincpodcast.com. And like I said, I will have those emails redirected to Lee. Love to hear anyone out there who has already got a marketing plan in place, whether it's successful or otherwise, we would love to hear about it. Now, before we wrap up, you've got some tour dates to talk about, Lee?
Yes, I do. I have tour dates. What I'll mention at this stage is we have two events that I'd really like to remind people on.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Melbourne Focus on Business Group, which is on the 2nd of August, and will become a monthly event.
Oh, cool.
And we have another one on the, I believe that will be the 9th of August in Sydney.
Right.
And that will also become a monthly event.
Ooh.
And it is pretty much designed for emerging and established photographers.
Okay. And is there a cost involved to attend?
There is a cost, and it is kept at a bare minimum as well.
Yep.
We are aiming to keep it as a regular event, and we have it priced at the moment at $59.
Okay.
For all AIPP members.
Yep.
And I'm just having a look here. I don't think there is a difference. I'm pretty sure there is, but at the moment, the figure I'm seeing online is $59 for members. That may well be members, and I need to check on that.
Okay.
But
even so, it's fairly accessible. That's not ridiculously
expensive.
And that's the
idea. It will be kept. It's somewhere between $79 and $59, but it will be kept at a very low rate. And the idea here is that let's keep talking. Let's keep talking. We have done our research, Bruce, and what we have found is for a lot of the emerging photographers or established photographers out there, what they're interested in is not just a one-off seminar, but rather having a regular place that they can go to and compare ideas and compare notes and discuss issues and deal with objections on a regular basis. So our answer is a monthly Focus on Business group.
Awesome.
And the first ones are due 2nd of August in Melbourne and 9th of August in Sydney. Lorna will be running those courses.
Yep.
And we look forward to hearing from people on that. And again, instinctivedesires.com.au, and you can track down that information.
Awesome. Well, I will be there at the Sydney one for sure.
Fantastic. Well, I know there's a number of people that actually started booking on that one. So
good.
And now and I know Melbourne's doing the same as well.
That raises the question, is there a limit to the number of people you can put into one of these workshops?
We have purposely gone for venues that will allow for volume.
Oh, good. Good.
So the idea, the more the better.
Excellent.
The more opinions, it is going to be an environment where people can voice an opinion. It will not have a locked-in structure, but rather will evolve as the group evolves.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent. That sounds great.
Yes, it is.
All right. And the last thing, did you want to have a quick chat about your PMA videos that you're putting together?
Today, we've just put up the first montage from the PMA show. Bit of fun there from a video there. But also over the next week or so, we will be bringing up online as well the interviews which we conducted at PMA with a number of companies ranging from Canon and Fuji and Nikon. I think we've got CPW there as well with their thoughts on the industry.
The guys from Photo Merchant.
Photo Merchant, exactly.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing was, where's the industry going? What are people talking about? What new cameras are coming out? And, you know, lest we forget, it is a changing industry. So their thoughts are definitely valuable conversations that took place there, and they'll be coming online within the next week or so.
So are you going to feed those out via the blog, or are they only accessible in the members area of Instinctive Desires? Or
Our plan is to get everything out there to everyone and just get that information flowing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty darn sure they will be on our blog, and we'll be following through on Facebook as well.
Fantastic. Excellent, Lee. Well, good to talk to you again, mate.
Absolute pleasure, Bruce. Always a pleasure with you, mate.
All right, and we'll talk to you again in a week.
Fantastic, Bruce. Take care. All my love. Talk soon.
See you, mate.
All right, buddy. Bye. Shutters Inc.
For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.